Why, hello there. This is Rish Outfield from the future. Rish Outfield recording this at the end of 2017. And I'm about to present to you the final unaired episode, not from 2016, but 2015. Yes, sir, this episode, and ma'am, sorry, I didn't see you there. I mean, in my defense, you do have a little of a mustache thing going on there. This episode has been sitting, edited, on my hard drive for a year or more. It was recorded after Big and I got together and we did a episode where I presented him my idea for a short story anthology. And I believe we aired that on the That Gets My Goat podcast back in, I don't know, the Reagan era. And almost immediately after, I recorded this to go into more detail to explain my feelings, my excitement, and then my reaction to my conversation with Big. Anyhow, this episode is a long time in coming. I'm just going to go ahead and play it, release it into the wild, if you will, and then I'll join you again at the end. And just give an update, if that's even necessary.
What's the deal with my brain? Why am I so obviously insane?
Hey there, kids. This is Rish Outfield. This is the Rish Outcast. Give me just 1 second. I got a lollipop. You don't want to hear me sucking on it during the recording, but because I'm driving, I don't know an easy place to stash it. All right, I am ready to go, raring to go. This week I had a kind of interesting idea, I guess. An idea that snowballed into other ideas, into many ideas, and this is history, ancient history, by the time you're listening to this, this Rish Outcast, which is all right. Summer of 2015, I had a lot going on. I was trying to podcast with Big. I was trying to do write a novel. I was trying to type up another novel. I signed on to do another Dean Wesley Smith book, his Cold Poker Gang book. And what's weird is in between accepting that second book and starting it, a third book was published, which is just shocking. I mean, it's not shocking. The guy is very prodigious. Is that what you call it? What do you call it when they have a huge output of work? That sort of thing is inspiring to me. I would like somebody to look at me and say, wow, this guy's got a lot of stuff coming out. This guy works hard or is dedicated, or, I mean, the worst that you could say is, boy, this guy's got a lot of time on his hands. Which is the case comparing me to some, but I try to stay busy. Anyway, Big and I did a story called The Ghosts of Clay over at the Dunsteef. I would say it was probably May of 2015. And in it, there is a woman who moves into a haunted house. And she really, really wants to be visited by a ghost, because her mother just died and she would like to talk to her mother. She would like to have another conversation with her mother. You know, maybe she's got ghosts of her own that she would like to bury. You know, she has unfinished business with her mother. And ultimately, the story doesn't explore that. It doesn't go there. That's not what the story is about. You know, it's free over there at Dunsteef to listen to. It's called The Ghosts of Clay. I believe it was written by Wendy Conroy. You know, it might have been June that we published that. I can't remember. But anyhow, I was talking to Big, I think it was during the recording, of the episode, and I said, well, what's to guarantee that it would be her mother that haunts the house? I mean, why would her mother be the ghost that comes to visit her? You know, it just got me thinking about, well, you can't choose which ghost comes to visit a haunted house, right? Ghosts tend to be the spirits of people who roamed those halls or died there or had some kind of connection to the people there, or, well, I guess it's possible that they have some kind of connection to you. But anyway, I was thinking about it, and I thought about, what if there was a place that was haunted, but in exactly the way that Wendy's story looked like it was going? Like, you can go to this haunted house, and whatever ghost you want to encounter will be there for you. So that was one idea that I had. And then there was a horror movie in 2000, let's say it was 2011, it might have been 2012, but it was called The Innkeepers. It was not a no budget, it was a low budget horror flick. It was about this little hotel, haunted hotel, that was about to shut its doors. And there were these two hotel employees who were like amateur ghost hunters, and they wanted to catch actual evidence of the ghosts before the hotel closed. It's actually a very good little horror movie. It does some things that you've seen a bunch of times. It does a couple of things that are unexpected. You know, I don't imagine it's very well known. Of course, in the horror circles, I'm sure it's well known. But horror fans tend to like stuff that's ridiculously gory or really, really effed up. Like, you'll hear about Human Centipede all the time. People revere Texas Chainsaw Massacre. You know, that sort of stuff. So a movie like The Innkeepers probably would not be beloved in horror circles. But I here's the thing. The title is terrible. I hate the title, The Innkeepers. It's not a scary title. Although, here's the thing. It is an inn, right? Isn't that what we called hotels years ago? And it's about these two employees that work there. But, you know, I would imagine anybody who heard that title would not be like, oh, that sounds like a good movie. It's not a good title. It doesn't evoke fear. In fact, I was pretty sure that it was going to take place in a lighthouse. I don't know why. It's not called The Lighthouse Keepers, but I don't know. I was fairly sure it's going to be a haunted lighthouse, which is interesting to me. So anyhow, I was thinking about The Innkeepers, and that is this tiny little hotel that is haunted. And I thought, well, okay, what if there was a tiny little hotel that is regularly haunted? And I thought, okay, even smaller than a hotel, it's a bed and breakfast, a haunted bed and breakfast. But the thing that makes this unique among haunted places is that it is predictable. It is reliable. It is the Old Faithful of haunted houses. As you know, one of my favorite things to write about are little towns where something strange happens in this little town, and it's just part of the lives, the day-to-day lives of the people that live there. I've written a few stories about that, and I will continue to do so because I love it. And one day, I will put out a collection of short stories with that theme, and it will be called Murder Town and Other Stories by Rish Outfield, because I wrote one a year ago, maybe 2 years ago. I got lost coming back from Comic-Con. I was trying to find my uncle's house, and I got lost. And as I was driving around really, really rural Southern California, you know, finding vineyards and farms and nothings, I thought, what if there was a town out here called Murder Town? And you're like, what the hell? Why would you call a town Murder Town? And in Murder Town, murder is legal. I know, it's stupid. But it got into my head, and I just enjoyed it a lot. And so I wrote a story about a guy who got lost, like I did, and he goes to Murder Town. And so I think I even got Gino Moretto to create me some cover art for it, for the collection of short stories that Murder Town would be part of. But I don't know for sure. I mean, I know I talked to him about getting it done, but I don't know if it ever got finished. But I digress. This idea I had for a story would be about a predictably haunted bed and breakfast. And the deal is, one day of the year, ghosts come to this bed and breakfast. But the thing about the ghosts is that they are connected to the people that are staying there. So it was a friend or a loved one or an enemy or, you know, somebody that is a big deal to the person that is staying there comes. And I thought, wouldn't it be cool if during the night, on this one night of the year, everybody who's staying at the bed and breakfast gets a knock on the door. And when they answer the door, if they choose to answer the door, it is a ghost of someone that they knew, that is important to them or close to them, a loved one. And saying it to you now, it doesn't seem like the world's greatest idea. It doesn't. I recognize that. But I'm confident in the idea because it wouldn't go away. It sounds dumb to you now, but at the time, I was like, this is the greatest idea. Oh, what a cool idea. Because that's not just the premise for one story. That is the basis for a whole series of short stories. You could make a funny one. You could make a scary one. You could make a sad one. You could make a romantic one about a dude who gets it on with a ghost.
Yeah.
I loved the idea of writing a whole series of short stories that take place on this night or the next year on this night. You know, it takes place at this bed and breakfast because the sky's the limit of who could be at that door. I was telling Big about it, and I compared it to the Love Boat. You know what I mean? There are people that come from far and wide or disparate circumstances to this bed and breakfast, and they have singular experiences in each episode. Anyway, I pitched it to him because I wanted him to say, dude, this is great. This is so cool. I'll write a story based on this premise. And we should mention it on the Doonstief and see who else wants to write a story based on this premise. That's what I wanted him to say. And he didn't, but he wasn't dismissive. He wasn't like, oh, that sounds like fill in the blank. Which to me is usually the worst kind of salt, Peter. It gets me so down whenever somebody says, oh, so it's like this. Everything is like something. So I had this idea of doing a short story collection based on this premise. And I even came up with a title, which I was pretty pleased with, which is Dead and Breakfast, which is kind of a pun, kind of a shitty title, but oh well. It tells you a lot, I mean, unless you think it's a zombie collection. But I thought there was nothing I would like more than to have sex with Phoebe Cates circa 1983. But second to that, I thought I would really enjoy putting out a collection where I'm the editor and I've created the story, the first story, and put it out there. And so what I wanted to do was make this announcement. I do it on the Doonstief. And anybody who wanted to send in a story could. We'd have a, you know, a deadline. And I haven't really talked out minutiae or the details with Big, because it was so recently that I came up with this. Talking to you now about it, I wonder if maybe I should just announce it and do it myself, because it gets done that way. But when I was talking to Big, he said, you know, well, you could put it out as an actual book and get profits from it. And in fact, we could probably do a Kickstarter campaign to raise money so that we can pay the authors. Did you hear that Freudian slip almost jump in there? So we can pay the editor, is what I was going to say. But yeah, if we had some money, I could commission somebody to do cover art. And here's the thing, I've already got an image that just jumped into my mind less than 30 seconds ago, just now as we were talking, of what the cover is. And what the cover is a bed and breakfast at night with, let's say, 5 windows lit, and there is the silhouette of a different ghost in each window. Oh my Lord, I love it. While I was talking to Big, I did get a little bit down because doubt started to come in, and Big started wanting to, he was putting in his 2 cents, which is great, but he had a different, I don't want to say agenda. He thought, oh, this could be a totally different thing. What if we approached a bunch of authors and paid them to write stories for this book, and it can be like a fundraising project for the Doonstief? And maybe I'm focusing on the negative. But what I wanted to do was write the first story, share it with everybody, and get everybody excited, sending in stories, and I would edit them. I would, send people notes on the stories and say, okay, so the way I see the bed and breakfast, you know, there's only 2 levels, or, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I think in my story, I would probably introduce a bunch of characters, maybe in the lobby, you know, who are all talking about, well, I'm here because I'm excited about... There's one that was writing a book about a certain rock star who is dead. And he really hoped that that rock star would come tonight and they can talk. But he had come the year before and he was bummed out because it was his own father or his grandfather. And it's like, oh, what a jip. Which to me was really funny because it's like, you got a chance to talk to your dead father or grandfather and you're disappointed. That to me is funny. Anyhow, I thought it would be fun to write this story, the first story, and everybody who is participating in the, help me out here, in the collection, in the anthology, would get to read and or listen to the audio of that story. Because that gives them the rules. That gives them a couple of springboards for where their stories could go. It talks a little bit about who the owner of the bed and breakfast is, what the name of the bed and breakfast is, where it is, things like that. But the fun thing is, they can write however kind of story they want. Like I said before, if they wanted to write an erotic story about a ghost with an erection that comes to the door, I think that's fine. If they want to write a story about, you know, an old woman who's about to die and gets to be with her husband who died 15 years before, I think that would be really cool. If they want to write a scary story, which, you know, is where my interest lies, they could do that. It's funny, I'm getting excited. I'm getting much more excited talking to no one at all than I was that night when I was talking to Big, because while I was telling him this, I was thinking, you know, maybe this isn't going to work. To create a Kickstarter campaign, you have to come up with all this, like, legal stuff. You have to come with a start date and an end date. And what happens if nobody donates to my Kickstarter? What happens if it doesn't make its goal? And that made me sad or scared. Besides, I would have to attach a dollar amount to this project. And that, to me, is really strange because I don't know. I don't know how much something like this would cost. Big was saying that you could do an actual
book.
I don't know if that makes any sense. Like, an actual published book. He said, you know, well, we could figure out how to do the print on demand, or if there's X number of donations. See, I've never done a Kickstarter before, but I know that you can make these goals, and then some kind of, there's a cool word for it, but like goals above and beyond that original goal. Like, okay, let's say that we make a goal of $1,000, and if that $1,000 goal is met, then I'm going to put this book together. But if a goal of $1,500 is met, then I will also be able to do an audiobook version of that. And if a goal of $2,000 is met, then, you know, we'll do an actual physical soft cover trade paperback book and the audiobook. These are not unrealistic goals, although I think Big would say 2,000 is nothing. But yes, one of the things, I guess, that I could set is, you know, if we raise X number of dollars, then 5 people get to participate. And if we raise X times 2 number of dollars, then 8 people get to participate, etc., etc. I am much, much more interested in doing this as wouldn't it be cool to do than any possible dollar amount that is attached. And I've already started the story. In fact, it is close to done. It ends with there being a knock on the door of this main character, and he's gone to the door and he's opened the door, and then I stopped because I don't know what he finds yet. And I'm going to think about it during this drive, and hopefully something will occur to me that I'm like, oh yes, that's, it couldn't have been anything but that. You know what I mean? That's how writing, when it feels inspired, works. Is you're like, oh yeah, of course. Or you come up with an ending and then you go back and you set up a couple of mile markers that point toward that ending so that when that ending comes, you're like, oh yeah, of course. Because here he said this and here another character said this. So I think this is pretty much it. I haven't been talking very long. But Dead and Breakfast, it's something that I would like to do. I'm going to try and do it as a Kickstarter campaign. But there are a couple of potential stumbling blocks. One of them is, I talked to Marshall Latham and he said that you have to make a video that's a presentation of your plan. And what I would much rather do is just do a recording where you hear my voice saying very similar to what I'm saying right now, and you see nothing. No, you. If I could find pictures of bed and breakfasts on the internet and just have those going as I'm talking, I think that would be fine. But I'd also have to sit down with somebody and say, how long do I do this for? What is a realistic number? And I don't know, what I would like, maybe I've already said, I wish that people had said, this is friggin' great, I am in. I'm gonna write a story, I'll do cover art, I'll do a theme song, I will stir up publicity, I will donate, I would like to participate, I can't wait to buy a copy, or I can't wait to read your story. And so far, there's been one person that said, yes, I will participate, and that's great. This has been another Rish Outcast, and I wanted to talk about it just to get it out there. I'm stuck in a car. I've got a 12-hour drive by myself. It's so stiflingly hot that the seat is soaked along my back and chafes where the seatbelt is attached because
of the dampness. But I figured, you know, if I got this out and if I had enough enthusiasm about it, that somebody might hear this and say, oh, I'm in. That sounds good. At the very least, I'm going to have a short story come of it. My short story is called True Ghost Experience. Sometimes writing is a chore. Sometimes writing is a pleasure. Writing this has just, it's felt like an honor. Like somehow I pleased one of the Greek muses. And she came over and she's really pretty and she's got I guess it's a toga. Do you call it a toga if a woman is wearing it? And obviously she's not wearing a bra. And I just, I'm so glad that she came to hang out with me, to inspire me a little bit. I'm just grateful. She looks like Ursula Andress in Clash of the Titans. Or She. Do you remember her in She? With that lovely image, I've just been grateful to be able to come up with an idea that I'm so excited about. And there's another story kind of playing at the back of my head for another Dead and Breakfast story. And yeah, Bing told me I should just write them all. I should just write a bunch of these stories and put it out as my own, which is doable. You know, maybe that was his suggestion that I was not excited about at all. That I should just turn this into a novel. Because it's not a novel premise. It's a collection of short story premise. Which makes me sound like an a-hole, maybe. I don't know. I don't mean it to be. But, you know, Louis C.K. in his stand-up the other day was saying, when somebody says you're being an a-hole, you can't say, no, I'm not. It's not something that you recognize. It's only something that somebody else can point out and say, hey, dude, you're being an a-hole right now. A friend can point that out and they're still your friend. Anyhow, sorry, where did that come from? So if you hear this and you had not already heard about Dead and Breakfast, please let me know that you're excited about it or that it's not the worst idea you've ever heard. There, that's what I want. Dear Rish, it's not the worst idea I ever heard. Signed, you know, Charlie Manson. So, there you go, guys. Thank you for listening to another Rish Outcast without a story, I know, but sort of promising a story yet to come. I don't know if I'm going to do this story on the Dune Steve. Maybe I'll just do it on the Rish Outcast, and you'll be like, oh, I know what this story is. I remember when he came up with this. Wow, that's crazy. Oh, one last tiny detail. I came up with the idea on July 2nd, 2015. I believe it was the 2nd. It's possible it was the 3rd. But my friend Dennis, who is my childhood best friend, was born on July 2nd. And so I decided, okay, it's the 2nd of July every year when the ghosts come to the door. Just a tiny little bit of minutia, of trivia. But think about it. If you are listening to this and you're like, oh, okay, you know what would be really cool is if when he opened the door, X, let me know. And I don't mind letting you write a story in this sandbox. That's really what I wanted, was other people to think it was as cool an idea as I do. And the thing is, if I'm supported in this, then I'll do it again. And maybe the next idea will grab you if this one didn't. But it's neat to be creative. It's neat to have creative outlets. If there's a dollar amount attached to it, that's even neater. But you know me, that's why I do the Rish Outcast. I'll do it for free. So be well, and just make sure you answer that door when the knock comes. Good night.
The Rish Outcast has been released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives 3.0 license. That allows you to listen to it, copy it, and share it, but not to sell it, edit it, distort it, or otherwise have your way with it. I know how you are.
Oh,
There it is. The lost episode of the Rish Outcast. And it wasn't lost. The unaired 2015 episode. Maybe one day I will get to the unaired That Gets My Goat we recorded in 2010. So, yeah, I mean, you heard it. You know the background on this. The thing is, I knew nothing was ever going to change. I was never going to do a Kickstarter or a GoFundMe or a You Fund It or a Girls Just Want to Have Fund. You know, I don't know how that I would go about that. I've talked to people and I couldn't do it. I didn't do it. I chose not to do it. I mean, dude, it took me a year and a half just to create a Patreon fund, which, of course, you are more than invited to support. But I wrote that story and I was doing nothing with it. I was just saving it, just like this episode, for a day that would never come. And so what I decided to do was just, okay, I'm going to put the story out there. You know, maybe it'll just be the first installment in a series of stories I write about this place. And I know that there were a couple of people that were interested at the time in contributing, and maybe they still will. I don't know. Anyhow, the story that I wrote that introduced this world, this scenario, was called True Ghost Encounter. I should just put that out there. Let somebody read it and be inspired by it or not inspired by it and move on. I had another idea for the anthology, a story that, I mean, in my mind, I was going to bookend the anthology with my intro story, which I just tried to remember the title of, and then end the anthology with a story I would write later after other people had contributed their characters and their scenarios. So I could incorporate some of those names and details into mine, and two, so that I didn't just end up repeating any of the stuff that they did. But yeah, I had another story in mind that was about the proprietor of the bed and breakfast, the lady that ran it, and what happens to her on that night. And I could still write that. I could still write a lot of things. They'll have 70% of my brain. Come on. So there you go. I didn't want another year to end without putting this episode out there. I realize it's super dated, but you know, you're going to find, even in 2018, some episodes from 16 and 17. Well, I think I've gotten almost all of the 2016 episodes out there. We'll see. Anyhow, thank you once again for listening to the Rish Outcast. Thank you for being a friend or a fan or a fellow human being. Oh, did you hear somebody knocking at the door? You better go get that. Shoot, did I end the 2015 episode that same way? Oh, I'm such a hack.
Shit-smelling foulness I can't even imagine. Or maybe I just don't want to. He tried to pull away, but she glared at him across the table with eyes that were, if not red, at least...
Oh, sorry, I'm taking pictures whilst driving, which is probably not cool. I'm also podcasting whilst driving. Shoot, I need to get off. What a waste of time, huh? Your time and mine? Well, mostly yours. Sorry.
Thank you very much.
Hey, you have a good night. There you go. You need a top off? No? Okay, just call me over.
Hey there. You mind turning that down?
Down? Not a fan of Top Gun, huh?
I could take it or leave it. But the song. Please. Thanks.
No problem. I wasn't really listening myself, just Just background noise.
It's Kenny Loggins, see? I've got a problem with Loggins.
Huh?
Just did a stretch at Clay County. 30 days. Bruised my knuckles on some guy with Meet Me Halfway playing on his car stereo. That was my second strike because of him.
Who? The same guy?
Kenny Loggins, dude. First time, some joker in a bar was grooving to I'm All Right, that song from Caddyshack. I plumb went crazy.
What'd you do?
I can't rightly say. When they finally pulled me off him, he was on the floor, twitching like a hooked fish. They never found his eyes. Might have thought to pump my stomach for him. I don't know.
Jesus.
Yeah, well, did 6 years for that. Was supposed to do 10, but I'm pretty chill when I ain't around that guitar playing prongs music.
Pretty chill.
That's why I said please just now. I can't afford a third strike.
You would have hurt me for listening to Highway to the Dangerous.
It ain't you. Nothing personal. It's Loggins.
Loggins, right.
Just something about his voice. Makes me go crazy. Gotta punch somebody or kick something in, you know?
Well, that Caddyshack song, I sort of see where you're coming from there. You want another Heineken?
Better not. I can still sort of hear Danger Zone, even with the radio off.
Wow, I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. At least it wasn't playing with the boys. You'd know what doing hard time felt like after that.
What happens when you hear Footloose?
Nothing. Footloose never bothered me.
But it's gotta be his most played song, no? It does nothing to you?
Yeah, makes me tap my foot a little. I don't know.
Okay.
Hey, don't tell nobody I said that. I got a reputation to keep. I once put a cinder block into a guy who was whistling that Heaven Helps the Man song.
I don't know that one.
You'd know it if you heard it.
You put a cinder block into a guy?
Think about the worst way somebody would go about that kind of thing.
No, thank you.
Sorry about that visual, mister. Friggin' Loggins, though. If there's really a hell, I'll recognize the devil when I get there. By his voice.
Wow. What would you do if you ever met Kenny Loggins in real life?
Oh, I met him once, actually. At a kosher yogurt place in Santa Barbara. Nice guy. Surprisingly down to earth. Signed my copy of Return to Pooh Corner.
I'm not gonna call the police now.
Not a bad idea.